Last week, Jason, a very well-known episode in Acts, the shipwreck of Paul, he covered that. And now we're kind of in between this weird place where we're in the result of the shipwreck, but we're still on our way to Rome. And this is interesting. So there's a couple types of scripture. There's several types of scripture, actually. But what we're reading is something called narrative. Narrative. And what narrative is, Exodus is narrative as well. It is just the telling of a story about something, about the movement of God, the moving of God in the past. And what we do is, as people who are living 2,000 years after that, we look at that story and we try to draw out principles that we can apply to our lives to glorify the very same God that is at work in the book of Acts. So has anybody been shipwrecked on Malta lately? Only two of you. That's very, I do have to mention, Josh, you did leave this up here, so just make sure you get this. This is Josh's comfort animal. You never want to try to play a practical joke on the guy who has the pulpit, because then I could become a bully pulpit real quick. So Josh, here you go if you start to get nervous. One of the ways I was praying through this, and I had a great opportunity to study this over just a period of time when we were in Arizona, so on and so forth. One of the things that kept coming to me was just the imagery of fingerprints. Fingerprints. So, familiar with fingerprints. I know we have some who are either in law enforcement or have been very familiar with fingerprints. It is simply fingerprints, very simply, are a way to identify people. This is one of the ways God has given us with which to identify one from another. Fingerprints. None of us have the same fingerprints, which just speaks to the awesomeness of our Creator God. And what we want to look at today is, in our story, as we get Paul and this group of people on this island, one thing we want to look at is, I think we have a display of the fingerprints of a follower. And those fingerprints are so beautifully displayed for us in the person of the Apostle Paul. Paul is, I tell you, if you're a student of the New Testament, you can't help but love Paul. Not just because of his writings, which stir up here. I mean, there's some deep stuff that keep you active up here for quite a while, but just his heart to be like Christ and to honor Christ and to love others to Christ. It's just astounding. So we're going to just take a look at some things that tell us, all right, fingerprints. Here's some fingerprints of a follower that we see in Paul that we should be seeing in our lives, if indeed we are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our story in verse 1 picks up very, very simply with, after we are brought safely through, so again, they're kind of beached reef and make their way to shore, we learn that the island was called Malta. Malta. So it's hard to get a map that like does justice and you could see well, but here's a map. So we know on the left, top left, that's Italy, the boot. We know that ball that the boot is kicking, just to the left there, that's Sicily. And right at the bottom of the screen, I think I may have a pointer here, right at the bottom of the screen here, or if you're looking at this screen, right at the bottom of the screen here is this little island called Malta. And that's where the shipwrecked folks end up, is in Malta. Verse 2, and the native people showed us unusual kindness. That's a blessing, isn't it? The longer I live, I just hit 50, and boy, that was a slap in the face in some ways. And by the way, thank you all who took time and sent birthday cards. We read every one of them, and my heart was warmed greatly. But the longer I go, the more I realize that God even uses unbelievers to bless me. The kindness and goodness of unbelievers, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a coworker. So here, these native people show unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it began to rain and it was cold. So in part, if you know anything about meteorology, you know that once a storm passes, the storm that wrecked the ship, A lot of times on the back side of that, you get some rain, it turns cold, So they're probably experiencing that for all of you meteorological students. And this is what's interesting to me. These little things as you read scripture blow my mind. The first part of verse 3 says this. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire. That's really, really easy to pass by, isn't it? I've read this story numerous times and just thought, well, you gather some sticks, throw them on the fire. I would argue more than that, I would say we have a first fingerprint of a Christ follower there. The first fingerprint of a Christ follower displayed here is that they are servant-hearted. Think of Paul in this moment. Just think of Paul. Camp on that for a minute. Here's a guy who has been used to spread the gospel throughout the nation, the empire. This is a guy who is writing letters that are scripture to churches. This is a guy who almost took command of the 275 others, or 276 total, whatever it is, on the ship. And he says, hey, take heart. There's going to be no loss of life. Not a hair on your head shall perish. And they come to a place, and is he barking out orders? Is he assuming this position of, hey, I kept us calm, I got us through this, you serve me? Of course not. What does he do? He goes and he serves. One thing that the new birth does is it makes us others-focused. Now, we still battle that every day. But when we're in the old creation, we are slaves to being us-focused. I mean, I'll give them a little bit if it doesn't cost me anything, and if I got a little extra time, maybe. But what the new birth does is it frees you from that, and it makes you others-focused. Turn to John chapter 13. Turn to John chapter 13. I'm still stunned. This is the Apostle Paul getting his hands dirty and ugly and messy. It's cold and it's rainy. He's out there getting sticks. Lots going on in John chapter 13. Christ knows the end of his earthly journey is coming. Judas had been entered into by Satan. Look at verse 3 of John 13. This is God in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get back into kind of the minutiae of Acts. So that's why these things, this is like, how much do you teach? So I'll say this. Whatever you hear today, if you hear, we're going to look at a couple passages within Acts, I think are key passages, key signposts of the book of Acts. There's messages. There's 45-minute messages taught on these. So go to our website, because I'm not going to reteach these. But so my goal today, so you see the name of the message is a flyby in five. A flyby, so there's our imagery of an airplane kind of flying at 30,000 feet, flying by, a flyby in five. And what I mean by that is that our goal is to re-enter the book of Acts, where we'll be, God willing, until we finish the book of Acts. Although, I don't know, boy, yeah, Easter season's coming. Oh no, I got to go through this again. So, re-enter the book of Acts by simply looking at five truths that we've encountered thus far in the book. That's all we're going to do. So, we're going to kind of make our way through the book of Acts. So, have your Bibles ready to go. We're going to look at five truths that we've encountered thus far. So first thing I would ask you to do, if you haven't turned there already, is turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We know that the grand overarching title of our messages have been the book of Acts, Kingdom Spread. kingdom spread.